Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded. You know, it had to be a life-changing experience for Joseph. Surely it had to feel strange. For example, look at Mary and the moment where the angel came to her and told that young, innocent girl that she had been selected to be the mother of Jesus, pregnant at age 14 or 15, whatever age around there. Wow. From what little we know of Joseph, he seemed to be a good man, righteous, law-abiding, hardworking, and compassionate. He was pledged to Mary, and under Jewish customs, no intimate relations could take place between them until they were married. And then he finds out Mary is pregnant. Now what? The way Joseph saw it, he had two options to save his integrity. One, he could publicly divorce her. Or to spare Mary from that embarrassment, he could divorce her privately. But to have stayed with her from that point on would have been an admission of guilt that he had caused her to become pregnant. And that was not an option for Joseph. And so he made his decision to divorce her privately and quietly. But a strange thing happened as he debated his options, and after he had made his decision, he had a dream. And as God has done before, he sent an angel and spoke to Joseph and told him of a third option, God's option. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Well, the angel might have well have said something to him like, "Joseph, you think my appearing to you is strange? You just wait. You want to see strange, Joseph? Just hang on." And the event the angel described, now looming before Joseph and Mary, would indeed be strange, as only God can do strange. But as Rick Warren's opening line in his book, Purpose-Driven Life, reminds us, it's not about you. And Joseph knew that it wasn't about him. He had a sense it was about something much greater, and it was. That moment was about the purpose of God in our lives and in this world, then and now. We're in the home stretch toward Christmas. Presents are being bought and wrapped. The dinner menu for Christmas Day is being settled. Travel plans have been made. The stockings are all hung by the chimney with care and hopes that, well, you know the rest. Yet I wonder if any of us feel stressed, anxious, and worried about something, even or especially in the midst of the season. We're in the home stretch. And tell me again, where are we headed? And why are we headed there? And how will we behave along the way? And what will we do when we get there? Joseph was in the home stretch, heading toward Bethlehem because of a census requirement. With dust building in his lungs from miles of dry roadbeds and with aching joints from years on the job, standing and squatting and swinging a carpenter's hammer, traveling with a woman he was scheduled to marry who was, only the Lord knows how, already pregnant, he journeyed along on the home stretch. And so, on he obediently traveled, leaving his place of comfort, believing in a dream, believing in an angel, believing in what seemed to be a very strange thing that God was up to this time, realizing, walking with a great deal of faith, that it was not about him, but something much greater than him. I wonder what we would have done, how we would have acted or responded in Joseph's place. Seriously. Seriously, Joseph's day-to-day and everyday journey was probably a bit like ours. Difficult at times, interesting at times, always busy, often cluttered with distractions, with plenty of uncertainty in some of the stretches of our lives, sometimes traveling out of our comfort zones, and at times passing and dealing with growing aches and pains and health problems from years of doing whatever seemed to be necessary to make ends meet. And then there's the stress and heartache of family troubles and illnesses and losses and relationship struggles and daily disappointments, unfulfilled expectations, and sad to say, too many rejections at times. No parking signs seem to pop up right in front of us just when we're looking for a place to stop for a moment, to rest and to gather ourselves. Making do with what we have and where we are, and at times thinking the grass has to be greener somewhere else. It would be helpful if things made sense, at least more than just every now and then. Joseph was a carpenter. To him, a square peg fit into a square hole. Things fit. You squared off or sanded edges if they didn't fit until they did fit. You measured with a plumb line so things were straight. You looked at the blueprints and the plans before you stepped out and began cutting and putting things together. You knew where you were going. You saw the whole picture. Things were supposed to make sense. You had the map in front of you. And so you might expect Joseph's response to all of what God was doing and what the angel said was before him to be something like, "Really, Lord? Are you kidding me? That just doesn't make sense." Maybe that's what we think he should have said. Maybe that's what we would say. Maybe that's what we say today, when we're faced with mountains and valleys, and as we search high and low around bend after bend for that perfect path through all of the uncertainty, the disappointments, and unhappiness of our lives. Maybe that's our reaction when we can't see the whole picture. But look closer at Joseph. He's the one who is always standing quietly in the background of all the manger scenes that we have ever seen anywhere. Right? Do you see him? There he is. Even though he didn't understand all that was happening and he couldn't see the bigger picture, the blueprints or the plans, even though he no doubt wondered why him and why this way and why here, Joseph's response was one of humble obedience, faith, and trust. It was not about him. Something made Joseph believe that, as in so many moments throughout God's history that had gone before, that what was happening was truly not about him, but it was about something much greater than him. It turned out that it was about God's strange plan to save the world. And because Joseph believed and obeyed, God used him to change the world. To change the world, my friends. It was a life-changing experience for Joseph and for all the world way back then. And as strange as it still may seem, and as far removed as 2,000 years ago is from us today, it can be a life-changing experience for each of us, afresh and anew today. And it will happen, my friends, when we believe, and when we believe in the baby, in the manger, in Bethlehem. In all the busyness of our days, that's where we're headed. Amidst all of the difficulties and disappointments of our lives, that's where we're headed. And with all the mountains in front of us that we can't see around or seem to get over, that's where we need to be headed. And we need to continue on with him and to him. With all the issues in our country and around the world seemingly spinning out of control, that's where we're headed. And that's why we're headed there. And he's what we're headed toward today and all the way to Christmas Day. And every day thereafter for the rest of our lives, all with him. And it will be a life-changing experience for us today and forever. We're in the home stretch, dear friends. Get ready. God is up to something strange for you and for me and for all the world. Something life-changing, something unbelievable, something that demonstrated his love for us for once and for all. Trust it. Believe it. God did it. And he's at it again for you and for me. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for the example of the obedience of your servant Joseph and Mary, and how they knew that it was not about them, but about something much greater than them, something that you were doing for all the world, something that you did for them, but you did for us today, to send your son for our salvation. Thank you. Wow. Thank you. Amazing. Thank you for loving us. In your son's precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.